you. It's fun walking in here and hearing you visiting with one another and loving one another. Boy, did we miss that for a while this past year. You know, I think it was Phil Johnson who said, you know, 2020 was just like the year that wasn't. It's just like a big hole in our lives. So it's great to have you back in the sanctuary. Welcome if you're here today. Welcome if you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking this in online, welcome. What a beautiful Sunday morning we have. We had a little bit of rain. We're going to be praying for more today, so get ready. We need all you prayer warriors in on this. So welcome. Good to see you all. Just a few announcements before we get started. If you want to take a look at the back page of your bulletin, we'll just buzz through this quick. Tuesday through Friday, I'll be in the office. If you see my truck and want to visit, stop in. I'd like that. Wednesday, 8 a.m., we're second time back in our in-person Bible study. I thought that we'd have maybe 10 people show up Wednesday, you know, because we're just restarting after a year and 3 months. We had almost 30 people, so what does that tell you? People are ready to come out, so we're back on. We had a good first class on the Gospel of John, so welcome. Come on in. And we had coffee, and somebody actually brought donuts, too, and there were some other treats there, too, so that was great. I mean, if that wants to happen again, that would be great. Then right after the Bible study at 9:15, Grace Prayer Group meets. We had a good time praying. So, And then this Wednesday, special service. It's kind of, I've been talking about it as kind of a Lenten, a Wednesday evening soup and sandwich in June. And because we're going to get bumped on July 4th, that's on a Sunday, and of course, we know what happens here with 5,000 to 6,000 people coming into Erhard. The parking lot is used by the parade, and you know, it's just mayhem. So we are going to have a preemptive strike for worship, and we're going to do our July 4th Sunday worship this Wednesday. And so come at anytime between 5:30 and 6:30, there's going to be a potluck here. You can come and get a meal that night, and then Amy and I will do kind of a service, about a half an hour. There'll be a message and some music, so it'll be very much like a Wednesday in Lent, and we always have a good time with those. So we know it's a work night. We'll have you hopefully out of here by 7, unless you're in the youth group, and then we're going to work on the parade float from 7 o'clock on that night. Floats this year, is that right, Daisha? Yes, root beer floats. All right, it's going to be awesome. I didn't even come up with that idea. I came up with the very first one. I think, Daisha, that you were in youth group, and that was the world's largest tater tot hot dish. And the kids went for it. And then we did Duck Dynasty one year, and we've done, so anyway, this year it's going to be root beer floats. It'll be fun. So, all right, so that's what's happening with the youth group this week. So there's some birthdays here. Happy birthday to you all. Our June mission of the month is the Carissa Soli and her family. Carissa is a devoted stay-at-home mom, children ages 9, 5, 2, and she's battling terminal cancer, and she's tied into the Thompson clan here from Erhard. So we want to just help them out if we can. So as you're going through the line to get some food after service today, there'll be a basket out there for the Carissa Soli family, and if you feel led to give to that, we will pass that on to them. So, all right, so Monday, July 5th through Thursday, July 8th, it's a little sooner than what we normally have it, but these were the dates offered to us by Inspiration Point, the camp, and we just have to roll with it because they're still recovering from COVID too, and it's reflecting in their schedule. So, but that's VBS this year. It's coming up fast. So it'll be 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. for grades 1 through 6. There's registration forms out in the foyer if you want to pick some of those up. We offer an afternoon snack and then an evening meal that's served. And Carol Hybe is heading up the food. Carol, put your hand up. So if you want to help out with preparing food or serving food during that time, I think Carol would love to talk to you. And we're accepting food donations. I saw some come through the door today. We will have a Thrivent card, but we also need some extra stuff beyond that. So there's some sign-up sheets with a list of what we're looking for on the table in the fellowship hall. So that's coming up fast. And then September 8th, we're restarting our concert schedule. Isn't that going to be fun? So we're looking forward to that. And Jim Klitsky, put your hand up. If you're interested or know somebody who's interested in being our part-time church treasurer, Jim would love to talk to you. He would really like to talk to you. So those are the announcements. Thank you to all who really just served food and last Sunday for our coffee fellowship. That's always appreciated. You don't have to bring food if you want to just step in there and help serve it. That's great. So any other announcements before we get started? All right. Let's open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
call to worship is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm, Psalm 30, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 12. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints. For his anger is but for a moment. Weeping may tarry for the night. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have loosed my sackcloth, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Almighty and merciful God, hear the prayers of your people. Stretch out the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and thrive to your honor and glory. Amen. I'll ask the praise team to come forward as we turn to the hymn titled, We Praise You, O God. It's hymn number 241 in the green hymnal, or resting on the screens.
We praise God for his redemption every Sunday when we do what we're about to do right now, when we stand before God and confess our need for his redemption and then hear of his forgiveness. So we turn our attention now to our brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are, in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do, but we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. God's good news to us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him, your sin is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are his. God's Son has made you free. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, an ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
The first reading comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 33. The Lord's faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9 and 13 through 15. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to the means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. The word of the Lord. Let us say the prayers of the church. Protect us, O Lord, from distrust of your fatherly care, whenever we become overly anxious about our earthly needs. Direct us to live for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. O faithful God, giver and sustainer of life, in this time of need, send us the plentiful and gentle rain for our crops, that we may receive the fruits of the earth for our benefit and for your praise. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in affliction. Almighty God, hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial. Be their refuge and strength, and, to the glory of your name, their very present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Linda. Beautiful scriptures listed for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost in our lectionary that speak of God's heart as a heart of grace. The first scripture from Lamentations, written in the wake of the well-deserved judgment of Jerusalem. The city had been sacked and destroyed, and yet God shows up and says, "My mercies are new every morning." My heart is a heart of grace, as Paul tells us in the 2 Corinthians passage. Well, as we prepare ourselves to hear more of God's word this morning, I'd like to invite the praise singers to make their way forward. And we're going to sing a beautiful hymn written by Martin Luther about the word. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hymn number 230 in your LBW, the green hymnal, or as it's seen on the screen, verses 1 through 3. That hymn takes on another layer of meaning when you remember the context out of which Luther wrote that. He was, his life had been threatened, and he was, putting his life on the line for the sake of the gospel and the truth of God's word. So, well, as we prepare to hear the sermon message today, I'd like to invite any kids to meet me at the table for a little message just for you. So come on up, kids. I see Daisha's making her way to the fruit snacks, too. So, okay. All right, come on up. All right. Good to see you all. Good to see you. So are you guys having a good time when the sun doesn't go down till like after 9 o'clock, you know. Well, I want to show you a trick that I've learned over the years, and so let there be light. I'm pretty powerful. I can do that, can't I? No? Let there be light. You're still not buying it, are you? So what's going on? I know, it's just the power cord, right? I have no power to do that. Well, today, though, we're going to hear a story about Jesus who has real power. Power to stand up in a boat in the middle of a storm and tell the storm to stop it, to hush, be still. And there was a great calm that came over. And his disciples went from being afraid of the storm to being afraid of Jesus. They said, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And they were afraid. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Okay? Now, today, we rejoice that Jesus took all of this great power that he possessed and he went to the cross. And in his sins and forgave us. That's real power. So remember that. Jesus took all the power because he had the power to create everything we see around us. And he put all that power into the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins and have a new life. Isn't that awesome to have that kind of a Savior who's a friend to sinners? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, help us to understand that as the God and Lord and Creator of the universe, you took all that power and you took it to the cross so that we could be forgiven. So we thank and praise you for your goodness and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All right, thank you all for coming up, and let's show them our appreciation. All right. Well, I love this text for today. If you're in the hospital and I come and visit you, I might read this text to you, and I'll remind you that he's in the boat with you in the storm. And for me, that's the biggest takeaway in this narrative, is that the disciples were afraid, and yet Jesus said, "I'm right here with you." So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are with us now. Yes, it's a happy time in your house. We're singing praises and fellowshipping, but you're with us through the good and the bad. And so, Lord, grant us faith to remember that because you were incarnate, you took on flesh and walked in our broken world, you understand all of its suffering and pain and sorrow. So reach out and touch us now with the reminder that you are here and you're always here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the dark days of Germany, during World War II, a German pastor's home, Helmut Thielicke, was completely destroyed by the Allied aerial bombing campaign. Even though Thielicke opposed Hitler's Third Reich, and he had at one point to be hidden from the Gestapo, there was no way for the high-altitude bombers to know that. And so they fell on his home too, destroying it. He and his family sought shelter away from the city in a rural farming village. One night, as he walked through the peaceful streets of that little hamlet, he was astounded at how everything seemed so peaceful there. It was as ideal as he imagined it could be. Cows on the hills, people talking about the upcoming harvest, cozy lights peeking out between the curtains of small, well-kept homes. But what was unexpected was the utter lack of peace he felt there. In fact, what he actually experienced was a profound sense of inner turmoil, a discontentment, a feeling that he didn't belong there. And he wrote these words, "In the next few days, this discontentment drove me back to the ruined city and the people whose faces were still marked by the terror of the bombings. Oddly, it was here where I felt at home. These people understood what I had gone through because they had suffered it themselves. The people of the village did not understand me. To them, I was a disquieting apparition from another frightening world that they wanted no part of. There is nothing more comforting than to have people who understand who you are and what you have been through. End of quote. Today, as we consider our gospel text, we will see that as we are touched by the storms and troubles of this world, we have a God and a friend who not only understands our storms, but he is also a God and friend who is in the storm with us and has the compassion and the power to help us. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Jesus calms a storm. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" The word of the Lord. Now there are some important details in this story. The details suggest, first of all, an eyewitness account. It was a real event. The time of the storm is mentioned, the other boats, Jesus' location in the boat, the cushion, the disciples, and Jesus' exact words are recorded here. And let us not forget about this. It was Jesus' idea to set sail that day. We need to think about that. He knew what was coming. And the storm brought a fear-driven rebuke from the disciples. "Teacher, do you not care? We're perishing, we're dying here." I think each one of us has probably asked a version of that question at some time in our faith walk with the Lord. "Lord, have you forgot about me? Don't you care?" Times when maybe our prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. So we need to apply this story. We need to see ourselves in this storm, in this story. So in other words, the Lord does allow me to go through storms. But he offers me the gift of trusting him in the storm. Like the disciples, I often think my storms are somehow proof that God doesn't care about me. There could be a little drama queen in each one of us. We're reminded of the psalmist in Psalm 10:1 who felt the same thing. "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Oh, we've all felt those words, haven't we? God just disappears sometimes. We wonder where he's at. He's there with us, but we don't listen to our faith. You see, it's the storms that can make me forget who God is because of what I'm afraid of. And in a very strange way, we can actually make an idol out of our storms. We can focus so much on the storm and on our feelings that we give that all of the credence. We give that all of our attention. And we end up, in a very kind of strange way, worshiping the storm instead of God. But for any of us who have felt this, and I certainly have, I've made an idol out of a number of storms in my life, there are two absolute gospel gems in this passage. First of all, Jesus sleeping points to his humanity. In other words, he slept because he was a man, and he could become tired, and he was dead tired. He just fell asleep in the back of the boat, in the stern on that cushion, and he was out. The waves didn't wake him until the disciples shook him awake. And why is this important? Well, because he understands not only tiredness, but he understands everything we feel. I love what Tillichur writes in one of his sermons, that because of his incarnation, nothing that strikes us in this life has not first struck him. He understands, he knows, he can relate to us. And this is what Hebrews chapter 2 says about Jesus' humanity. For this reason, he had to be made fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Solid gold. The book of Hebrews goes on to use familiar nomenclature to us, that Jesus in his humanity is our brother. He's that connected to us. He's a sibling. He also had human flesh. He understands suffering and weakness and pain and abandonment. All of the range of things we feel when we walk in this broken and lonely world, he understands. But that's not all there is to this narrative, because the other gospel gem here points to his divinity. Jesus is calming the storm points to him being truly God. The wind and the sea obeyed his command because he is Lord over all creation. Actually, in the Greek text, the words that he uses to tell the storm to hush is words he had used previously when he cast out demons, and the demons wanted to proclaim who he was, and he said, "Hush, quiet, you're not allowed to proclaim who I am. I will do that through my gifts of miracles and feeding and helping people." And we're reminded of what Colossians 1 says, "For in him, this Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." So let's put these two thoughts together here and go a little deeper, these two gospel gems. Because Jesus is a man, he understands my storm. He himself suffered deeply. He gets it. Because Jesus is God, he has power over my storms. He is the Lord over all creation and Lord over my troubles. Now, if we put these two things together and recognize the uniqueness of Jesus, that he is the infinite God-man, the one of a kind, here we learn that because he is the God-man, he has conquered the storm's power to condemn me. Oh, the devil comes whispering, doesn't he, when we have trouble. God doesn't love you anymore. He's punishing you. But when we look to Jesus, the God-man, he has taken that away. As we say almost every Sunday when we cite Romans 8:1 in our confession and forgiveness, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has taken that away. He suffered the condemnation for my sin in my place as a man, and as God, he applied forgiveness to everyone. So because of the cross, he is my friend in the storm. God is my friend. There's no condemnation. Take that right off the table. God in Christ, God only relates to you as a loving father. Period. That's it. So we need to listen to the voice of Jesus in the midst of our storm. You know, it's kind of cool that Mark is the only gospel writer that gives us the actual words of Jesus in the storm. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm that came over everything. I love this piece of art that shows kind of the aftermath. Notice the rigging of the boat is all in the water, and it just looks like they've been through a storm, but it's calm now. And there stands Jesus in the boat, having caused that. You see, by his words, that storm was changed into a great calm. And this is a lesson for each of us, all of us broken sinners who walk in this broken world, that Jesus calls us to listen to him in our storms rather than looking at the visual circumstances and worshiping the storm. Hear him. Hear his promise. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we need to ask God to have faith to look away from my feelings to Jesus' word. To look at his words of compassion. From Matthew 5, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Words that speak his courage into our hearts. I love these words from Matthew 6. Do not be anxious about your life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them all. Are you not of more value than they? Therefore, do not be anxious. And I cited these words last week too, but they're my favorite in this passage. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows exactly what you need. He knows. He understands. And then words of his peace. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be afraid. I give my peace to you. I stand ready. And so many times we look away from that. We look away from his word. We look to the circumstances. So this morning, rest assured that as you go through the storms caused by living in a fallen world, as a broken sinner, you go through them with a living and loving Lord, who speaks to you his words of forgiveness and hope. You are forgiven. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. And he reassures us that this broken world will not always be like this. It's not an endless cycle. There's a terminus to this fallen world, and he's coming back, as we confess in the Creed every Sunday. He's coming back, and it's going to be amazing. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the storms of this fallen world so easily turn my faith into fear, and I no longer recognize your presence with me. When fear grabs at my heart, reveal to me your powerful voice and give me faith in the reach of your saving hand. Help me to trust in your deepest love shown for me in your cross and in the life given to me in your resurrection. Trusting in your saving hand, reveal to me again that truly you are the God in the storm who is my Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, today, we acknowledge your presence with us in the good times and also in the bad. You came into a real broken world. You suffered for us to deliver us from condemnation. So we thank you, Lord, that whatever happens in this life, you are our friend. You are a loving Father. And we lift up now those who are feeling alone, battered and broken by what this world can dish out. Even those, Lord, of us who are harmed by our own sins. We all do it. We all turn away from you at one time or another. And we suffer consequences because of it. But Lord, you are a good and gracious God who offers us your mercies that are new every morning, who proclaim to us that our sins are forgiven. We thank you for this, Lord. So we pray, Lord, for those who are feeling alone and abandoned today, that they might sense your presence with them. We pray also for those who are listed as our birthday people this week, Eric Ripley, Troy Milbeck, Cadence Norgren, Chase Winkles, Stacy Carlson, Brad Bilden, Holly Stenger. We lift these people up to you and pray your blessing upon them. We pray a special birthday blessing upon them, that this week they might really sense your friendship with them and your love for them. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts, our own struggles, our own burdens, and even our own joys to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As our time together this morning comes to a close, I would like to invite you to join in singing by the call of my meeting on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. You can find it in the Whistling Voice Blues Songbook on page 780, or you can read the words from the screen. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. If you're at home listening or out in the parking lot or here in the sanctuary, your presence is noted and appreciated and loved. Would you please rise and receive the Lord's blessing today? May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our ever-present and gracious Lord.